Have you subscribed to the OTB Football Podcast?
And in fact, the bloke who man-marked Graham's neck got a broken jaw. Ross Graham shouldn't laugh.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
Now you're welcome along to the football show. So later on, we'll be talking to Natasha Michael. She's from the A Celtic State of Mind podcast. We'll chat to her about Celtic's new manager and Scotland's chances at the Euros. But we should start with Hungary 0, Republic of Ireland 0. It's just gone full-time over in Budapest. Former Republic of Ireland international Stephen Elliott's been keeping an eye on the game. Hey, Stephen.
How's it going, Joe? You all right?
Yeah, pretty good. So you watched the game. Give us the general match report and then we'll get into some specifics.
It wasn't the most spectacular of games. I think from Ireland's point of view, I thought we set up with three central defenders and I think we looked quite solid in our shape, and Hungary never really looked like they were going to break us down. So from a positive point of view, I think we looked solid, and even the midfield lineup, there was a good kind of unit there. But offensively, we could have done a little bit more, but I think it's progress. Looking at the Andorra game, you know, I think there's definitely progress from that game.
So we set up, Bazuno was in goal for the first half, Keller in goal for the second half. The back three was Duffy, Egan, O'Shea, Matt Doherty, James McLean, the fullbacks. That midfield you mentioned was Cullen and Harahan and Jason Knight maybe just in front of them, and it was Parrott, yep, and Ida up front. So that back three, how did they go? Duffy obviously has been much talked about for the last year plus.
Yeah, I think Shane Duffy came in, obviously he has been our favour a little bit with Stephen Kenny, but he came in today. He didn't wear the captain's armband right enough. John Egan kept the armband, which was interesting, which probably tells you a little bit going forward what Stephen Kenny's thinking regarding his captaincy if Seamus Coleman's not available. But no, I thought Shane Duffy done very well. Even his use of the ball today at times, some of his passing was pretty good. Some of his long passing, which at times has kind of been suspect, but no, I think at times we overplayed a little bit going out of the back, but in general, I thought we did okay. The only gripe I probably would have is we were very deep and we couldn't really get, especially first half, we couldn't get Adam Ida or Troy Parrott into the game, kind of high up the pitch where they could really affect the Hungarian team.
Because against Andorra, and I haven't seen tonight's game all that well because I'm on air, so I'm sort of picking your brain here. Against Andorra, what jumped out was that when they really put a press high up on the Irish defence, it wasn't like we were able to play our way out all that often. Did Hungary try and press Ireland high tonight?
They did at times, especially first half. Especially we tried to play it out. Obviously, Gavin Bazuna was trying to play it out. We sent the half, and we tried to play a little bit. And they did set traps, the Hungarian team. They've obviously watched us under Stephen Kenny over the past few games, and at times we did struggle to get out. And because of that, Troy Parrott was having to come very deep to even try and get on the ball. And you could see him getting a little bit frustrated, Troy, because obviously, when he was getting the ball, he was kind of deep in his own half. And I think, as we've seen the other night against Andorra, you want him on the ball offensively, just on the edge of the opponent's area where he can maybe see a pass or score a goal like he did the first time. For his first goal. But in general, I think I would say if we could just mix her up a little bit, Joe, like not from the back. Sometimes, if you look at it, Gavin Bazuna is in charge of things. And listen, we know Stephen Kenny wants to play out from the back, which is great. We want to change our style and we want to create better footballers and kind of a better way of playing, more enjoyable kind of way of playing on the eye going forward with these lads he's introducing. But at times, I think when you recognise there's a press on the way Hungaria at times did have that kind of trap set, and like Andorra did the other night, maybe going long a little bit, kind of a little bit more direct. Now, I'm not talking about a big hoof up the pitch to Adam Ida where he's got no bodies around him, but if we discuss, like, say, going into the game, listen, if these get a bit of a press, especially early on in the game, can we not mix it a little bit, go long, so everybody in the team, in the midfield, know that we're going to go a little bit more direct, so they're kind of in contact with Troy Parra and Adam Ida, like the midfielder, so they can kind of pick up that second ball. And a few times we did do a first half, we went that a little bit longer, and we managed to get bodies up into the Hungarian half, and we won a couple of free kicks, which obviously we're always going to look dangerous from free kicks with some of the aerial threats we had, and we were very unlucky not to score earlier on, actually, with a free kick. I think Shane Duffy got brought down, believe it or not. He was marauding up the right-hand side in that kind of the central defensive unit on that right side, and he got knocked over, and it was a great delivery into the box, and John Egan was terribly unlucky. Header just in the middle of the goal, and it was slightly behind him, but he got a great connection on it and it hit the crossbar, and if that goes in, you're 1-0 up, and and you're buzzing. But no, in general, I think we did okay. We kind of restricted Hungary to a couple of decent efforts. The big lad he had up front, Adam Saleh, he had a couple of good headers in the game, and Gavin Bazuna in the first half. And then obviously Kevin Kelleher, when he came on second half, made two great saves. Kevin Kelleher actually made two really good saves. Another strike from just inside the box. And that's one area I think going forward that I think we're very strong. And it'll be an interesting one to see who Stephen Kenny decides when it comes to kind of picking from one of them who his number one is, because both of them definitely done very well tonight.
I did notice that moment you were talking about in the first half, certainly one of them where Ireland were well pressed and just decided to pop it long. But it might have been either or Parrott, I'm not sure who, they half won the header, but there was enough support around them to pick up the second ball. So it's not
it. Yeah, of course, Joe, because we've been there before when balls are lashed up to a front. And I've played in games before where the ball's been lashed up and you're isolated and you've got no bodies around, and there's nothing more frustrating. But if you know, if you say, 20 minutes into the game, listen, these have set up to stop us playing, well, sometimes there's no harm in mixing it up. And I'm sure Stephen Kenny is aware of this, and the coach and staff, because they'll be watching the footage as well, saying, no, listen, lads, Gavin Bazuna saying, listen, right, get us all up. So make sure he gets bodies up in the pitch. So that means his centre-halves push up the pitch a little bit more. The midfielders get up a little bit more in contact. So when that ball does go long, just even if they're not getting a clear connection on the ball, they were in that kind of distance where they can pick up a second ball, maybe get a foul. And as I mentioned earlier on, that can be one of our threats going forward. Just because we're trying to change the way we play, we should never look past what has been a huge kind of threat for us over the past couple of years with the likes of Shane Duffy. John Egan now attacks the ball very well. And we kind of got a mixture up a little bit. But in fairness to Stephen Kenny, I did think he recognised that. And there was a little bit more of that long ball at times. And it wasn't total football from the back. But that said, second half, especially when the game opened up, I think we started to play a little bit more in the Hungarian half. I think Daryl Hogan, when he came on, who, me personally, I was very surprised he didn't start the game, because I think in all the moments when he's come on for Ireland in recent times, he's always had an effect on the game. And again, he came on today, he looked bright. He ran in behind a couple of times to make space for himself, which caused the Hungarian defence problems, which that's something that I didn't quite see from Troy Parrott and Adam Maidar. Both of them were kind of coming towards the ball, and it was quite easy for the Hungarian team to defend them at times. But I think when Daryl Hogan came on, he gave him something different to think about, and he was unlucky. He actually got a couple of little breaks where he was unlucky. He even slid Ogbeni when he came on in the last couple of minutes. Another little bit of movement from Ogbeni, who, when he came on, he ran in behind, and we were unlucky not to score in the last couple of minutes. So there was definitely positives as the game went on. I think we definitely looked more threatening than the Hungarians did. And we definitely had a stage in the second half that you'd clutch at and say, you know what, if we can keep it tight in games. Because listen, we are what we are. We're in a transitional period. We're not going to go out there and wipe the floor. We're a team that have qualified for the European Championship. A team that have, over the past couple of years, they beat Croatia. They beat some big teams. And so they're no pushovers. They're not an outstanding team, right enough. But they qualified the Euro. So you would suggest that they've been in better form than ourselves. But I think Stephen Kenny will be delighted with the performance. Obviously, just not maybe getting that goal at times. But it was definitely positives. And as I said earlier on, although we didn't score tonight, I think I'd be a lot more pleased as a performance as a whole, as a unit going forward into a kind of next. It's definitely something to work with there for Stephen Kenny going forward.
You've got to think Daryl Horgan is very close to playing himself into a starting position at this stage. What more can he do, really, every time he comes on?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I don't know whether, because I don't know whether he needs to get a move higher than kind of League One to be playing at a higher level. I know that shouldn't be the case, because if he comes on and is affecting the game internationally at that level, then he should be judged on that. But yeah, I was very surprised he didn't start the game, Joe, because I do think he's been a bright spark, and he plays with that kind of no fear. He's direct. He's got a good control. He literally came onto the pitch. His first touch is sharp. He's banging it. So that tells me he's mentally prepared. Even though he's substitute, he's looking at the game and he's recognising how he can affect it. And the fact that Stephen Kenny walked him for so long at Dundalk, it made it even more surprising that he didn't start. But again, Troy Parrott, he went with Troy today, and I think Troy, listen, he's gonna be a big player for us in the coming years. But I just think he got a little bit too deep today. He was coming a little bit into the midfielder's kind of pockets and picking up the ball, whereas if I'm one of the midfielders, I'm telling him, get out of there, get yourself up in close contact with Adam Maidar and give them a bit of a problem. But listen, these are all the little things that I'm sure when Stephen Kenny, Keith Andrews, they all look back on the footage in the game and they'd be able to point these out to these lads going forward. And that's the beauty of these games. Yeah. It's a learning curve for both the players. These are all inexperienced internationals. And I think the fact that they play this game, they've gathered these experience and they can work on things from the games. And the fact that Stephen Kenny's had a couple of weeks now to try and implement what he wants to do, I think it's been a big plus these couple of weeks. And Even James McLean, I think he never lets us down. I thought he played quite well today down that left side. Strong running, making tackles, put a couple of good balls into the box at times when he did get up the pitch. And obviously on the other side, Matt Doherty, he wasn't quite as effective, but he knows that role a little bit more than when he plays in the full-back role.
So on the two strikers, I know you mentioned Parrott coming a bit deep at times. I'm sure you watch them closely as a former striker. You know, all former footballers tend to watch their own position with that little bit of added interest. Correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'm just, again, basing on little bits I've seen across the evening. There were definitely a couple of times where I looked up and Parrott, yeah, he had come deep. But what struck me more was he was trying to beat the man behind him or trying to do too much with the ball, and actually just a touch and bring someone else into play and try and move the team up. Generally jumped out to me a few times. Now, I may have just seen him do that on the few times he did it, and it wasn't a theme across the evening. So his hold-up play generally, how was that?
Yeah, I think that's both forwards, especially Adam Adar first half. I think the ball kind of... Listen, he didn't have loads to work with, don't get me wrong, because we didn't get out all the time. But I think at times, Adam Adar, his touch could have been a little bit tidier and just a little bit kind of protect the ball a little bit more. He kind of got shrugged off the ball a little bit easy at times for my liking, because he's a big lad. You'd expect him to be a bit stronger. And the same with Troy Parrott. I know what you mentioned there with him dribbling, but
he tried to spin a fella once when there was no chance he was going to do it, that kind of thing. But again, that's one isolated moment.
And I think that's the fact, is because he's coming so deep, Joe, if he does lose it there, then all of a sudden Hungary are picking the ball up in our half. Whereas if he's doing that in the opposite, if we get a little bit further up the pitch and he's a little bit more higher up, if he loses the ball, then he has that little bit of protection of the midfielders and the back line. Because you don't want to take that out of his game. Because as we've seen against Andorra, and obviously up through the younger ages, he's a very good talent. And that's part of his game, dribbling with the ball. He can dribble by players. He's quick when he gets going. And he also has an eye for a pass. But I just think today, at times, he was a little bit too deep. And when he did lose it, like you say, I remember that point in the game that you're talking about. He tried to spin his man and the guy kind of shrugged him off. And all of a sudden, we had three players out of position. And that's something that Troy will have to learn. And again, you could actually make out Stephen Kenny at times saying to him to kind of get up a little bit higher. I'm sure I could hear him when the camera went a bit closer. And that's all a learning curve, because, again, we obviously seen Adam Maidat as the central kind of figure higher up the pitch today, and maybe he just thought, I need to sit in and kind of get on that in that little pocket. But when we have three midfielders in there already, I don't think you need another striker in there. I'd rather the two strikers get right up against the Hungarian defence and give them a little bit of problem higher up the pitch. But no, again, he came off after 55 minutes or so, and it wasn't his best game, but still, there was moments there. The fact that he was courageous enough to take that ball and kind of try and take players on, I wouldn't want to totally take that out of him. But again, it's all about the areas in the pitch he's doing it.
Yeah, it's a fair point. You need to encourage him to have a go, because then you get the benefit of that, like we saw against Andorra. Like, we're talking about, what, 20-year-old and a 19-year-old here, so it's a really difficult question. But what have we got in our hands here? Like, could you see both making a career in the Premier League? Do you think Championship is more realistic? I appreciate it's pretty difficult to say with any certainty just yet, but we're all kind of looking at them curious to see what level of a talent we have here.
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer how far they're going to go. Obviously, they both got great potential. Again, Troy Parra, for me, I think he has a little bit more about him than maybe Adam Adar. I think he could probably be the one, again, without putting too much pressure on him, I think he could be the one that could be the talisman going forward. I think Adam Adar, he still has a lot to learn as a kind of, to say he's Ireland's number nine, to go out there and be our main striker, I don't think at this moment in time, now bear in mind I'm saying, he has enough to his game to be that guy to kind of lead the line. But you're looking around for people who could come in and potentially kind of fill that role. There's not loads screaming out at you. So maybe Stephen Kenny realises that, and he's given Adam the experience of kind of learning his trade. But again, there's learning your trade and learning it in the deep end in the national force team where results really matter. But he done all right at the time. Yeah. Listen, I'm not coming on here to kind of slag him off, because he done a few good things as well as the disappointing things. But again, another lad I mentioned earlier on briefly, Ogbeni. Now, I know he likes to play out wide, but he came on and kind of played a little bit through the middle at times. I know he only came on in the 88th minute or something, but he made two really clever movements across the back line that I looked at him and thought, you know, they're striker movements where if you can kind of get a Daryl Hogan or a Troy Parrott playing off him who recognise these runs, as we've seen with Daryl Hogan when he slipped him in, he could be somebody that could potentially fill that role. And he's only 24 himself. He hasn't got loads of experience. But to be fair to Stephen Kenny, he's given these boys a chance. And As I said, Benny only's had a couple of minutes, but he's done enough in them few minutes to make you think, do you know what, he could be something that would make you think he, going forward, he could be another option for us.
No, I agree. He caught the eye big time. He caught the eye big time. So I see Shane Duffy's been given the man of the match, so clearly he did have a good performance. That's huge for him. He'll feel a whole lot better about his summer now, and maybe that will allow him to kick on and do better things. Who else caught the eye? Were there any other good performers, better than good performers, Stephen?
Obviously the back three, Shane Duffy, John Egan, they were really good. Darragh O'Shea done well, very tidy. Like we very rarely looked kind of. I was watching the game at times. Knowing you watch us at times recently, and you think we're a little bit open here. We look like we're going to concede.
Yeah.
I never felt like that. We were totally open. Obviously, they had a couple of headers and a couple of scrambles in the box where we could have probably defended a little bit better. But I think we just looked more secure today. Which again, that's a start. To win games, you have to be secure at the back. And again, we can walk on the offensive side of things moving forward. But I would say the three central defenders done very well. And obviously, both goalkeepers, they both stood out today. The thing is, both of them are really young lads. But the thing I noticed them rather than their readings, they look so composed on the ball. No, because obviously this, receiving the ball at the feet, they don't look flustered. Especially Kelleher when he came on. He just looks so relaxed, even making his saves. And we have to remember, although he's very inexperienced at international level, he's played a lot of games for Liverpool with like some superstars of the game. So there's no doubt he would have been kind of intimidated coming in here tonight. He looked like he'd been there his whole career. And again, like I mentioned earlier, that's a real kind of difficult one for Stephen Kenny moving forward. If he is to pick from one of them, obviously Darren Randolph's about, but these two are obviously the future. And to pick, we're very lucky that we have two really good goalkeepers coming through the ranks.
I thought Kelleher in particular looked so composed, considering it was his debut. I mean, it was striking. You could almost tell, I know what the Champions League is about here, fellas. Like, I mean, he was playing like someone who had 15 years experience. There was a moment where he had the ball at his feet and Hungary were properly pressed up and had everyone sort of taken, and he just stood there for, it must have been close to 20 seconds with the ball at his feet, just waiting. Like, what are you going to do here? Like, you know, you guys thinking I'm suddenly going to get panicked here and just want to give the ball to Duffy just to get it away from me. I mean, it was almost like a slight disdain in his body language of like, are one of you going to rush me? You're not going to rush me? Yeah. Okay, I'm still going to take my time. I'm still going to, you know, do it on my terms. That's his Ireland debut. I mean, that is really, really impressive. So there'll be a lot of Bazuno or Kelleher conversations, I'm sure, over the next while. But one way or another, we're going to be well served there. That's a major plus.
Oh, definitely. Again, Kelleher for me, especially, like you mentioned, he's forced cap. And coming on at halftime as well, especially as a goalkeeper. Yeah. Now, I'm not a goalkeeper, but you can imagine it's nil all and you're thinking, God, I'm coming on for my debut. Like, I know it's not a hugely important game, but hey, it's your international debut. It's massively important.
And there's pressure on the manager. There's pressure on the team.
Yeah, pressure on the manager. So the fact that he came in and when he made these saves, he looked, I agree with you, Joe, he looked so composed and relaxed. Even the two he flicked over the bar, with the way he's moved his feet, he didn't look like, knowing keepers make a save sometimes, he looked like they're overstretching. He just looked like he was in control of the situation always. Even the shot that came from the edge of the box, he shuffled his feet across, got a hand on it, was going on target, and he just didn't look flustered. And yeah, I agree. I think we're very, very well served in that position. And I'm not going to make a statement now who I think the favourite is, but again, if you can get some more game time playing for Liverpool in the Champions League and maybe some more Premier League games, then you got to be looking at Keevan Kelleher. But he's got a pretty good goalkeeper in front of him at Liverpool to kind of try and knock off his perch. So again, it might be interesting to see where he plays his football next year, whether he does go out on loan and get some regular football, because I'm sure there'll be a host of clubs even in the Premier League, definitely Championship, that would gladly take him.
I think at another stage we wouldn't be all that excited about a nil-all draw, obviously, in a friendly, even away from home against Hungary or going to the Euros. I think it's just that when you look at this team, so you take Bazuno, I guess you take Kelleher to an extent as well, but you take the likes of Bazuno, I guess Darragh O'Shea, John Egan's that bit older in fairness, but you take Josh Cullen, you take Jason Knight, you take Parrott, you take Ida. At various points, they have had such a difficult start to their international career. Like, it's been everyone on the manager's back, the COVID stuff, they must be, you know, empty stadiums and the, you know, the criticism. They must have thought this is just miserable. It's kind of nice for them now to have had the win against Andorra, albeit not a perfect performance. The win against Andorra, a performance tonight for the first time for them in front of a crowd and an away crowd at that. And they've come through it and the performance was much better. Like, there must be a real sense for those young lads, you know, all of them kind of under 22. It's incredible how young they all are, where they're at least signing off now for the summer thinking, okay, maybe we've weathered a bit of a storm here. Maybe actually we can kind of approach September with a degree of confidence at least, because this could have gone off the rails after Portugal into this doubleheader. And when we were 1-0 down to Andorra, it looked like it really could have gone off the rails. Whereas now it's really settled down, and I would think they're gonna like, we'll forget about these matches pretty quickly. I would think when you're maybe reading their autobiographies in 20 years' time, or if you're chatting to them in a few years, you kind of hope they're looking back at this doubleheader saying, oh, that was when things really settled for us.
Yeah, definitely. And like you, the thing that you mentioned there as well, there was more or less a full house. Now, it wasn't a huge arena, but there was a mighty atmosphere at the game, and you could hear it, and the noise was there. Some of these boys, the likes of Gavin Bazuna, other players that haven't played much, Adam Haddad, these wouldn't have massive experience full stop and playing in front of the crowd. So the fact they were able to get kind of good experience playing in front of a kind of a hostile crowd, obviously. Listen, I'm sure the Hungarians are making a lot of noise. They'll be excited with the Euros coming up, and they would have been wanting their team to kind of win that game to go into the tournament on a high. But again, the added experience of feeling that noise, kind of taking the ball in pressure situations, kind of away ground, that will definitely stand them in good stead. And yeah, listen, like you mentioned, nobody's going to talk about this game probably. Like once the kind of qualifiers come round, these will be quickly forgotten. But the stuff we can work on, listen, offensively, we can do a lot more. Like, yeah, we're talking about kind of midfielders, they can get on the ball and maybe start creating patterns of play. But we need a base to start from that. And we didn't have that base up until kind of the last couple of games. Well, up until the last 20 minutes of the Andorra game, because up until then, like you mentioned there, you're thinking, where are we going from here? But the fact that we were able to turn around in Andorra, I know it's only Andorra, but it still took a lot of kind of character to kind of go and win that game and score the goals. And I know Andorra kind of got a little bit tired, but the fact that we went and scored 4 goals, went away to Hungary, big crowd, and there were some very good performances. And Shane Duffy, man of the match, he's somebody that I think more than anybody will walk away from these kind of international games after having a torrid season, obviously up at Celtic. Big move for him, and it didn't go well at all for him, and he got a lot of stick for that, and I'm sure he's aware of the stick he'd taken. But for him to come in today really strong defensively, and I think, me personally, I always feel like we're stronger defensively when he's, I'm talking about as a defensive unit, when he plays in the team, I always feel that little bit more secure that he'll head a ball out, he'll make a block. And again, he's experienced that. You can't kind of underestimate how important his experience of playing in tournaments, playing in all these caps he's had before, like McLean, that will help these young lads as well. And the fact that his distribution of the ball today was a lot better than we had seen in previous games. He'll go away this summer, go on holiday if he's allowed, obviously with the COVID situation, if he can find a kind of somewhere where he's allowed to go, he'll be delighted with how these last few weeks went. And again, Stephen Kenny, I'm quite happy for him, because he did take a lot of kind of stick. There's a few questions asked, but I think over these last, well, obviously the 90 minutes tonight and the last 20 minutes in Andorra, he'll feel a lot more good about being an international manager and managing the team where there's a crowd. It would have probably become a little bit more real for him tonight. And the fact that we gave a kind of a decent performance, not outstanding, but a decent performance against a team that are going to play in the Euros, I think everybody will be pretty happy tonight.
Yeah, and look, there's no getting ahead of ourselves here. I mean, it is what it is. It is just a friendly. So kind of a last point to finish up on then. That midfield situation, we sort of talked about the forwards, and we've talked about the back three as it was this evening, and obviously you'll have Seamus Coleman maybe coming back in from Matt Doherty, and who knows about left wing back, what he does there. But that midfield situation, Josh Cullen's had a lot of game time, Jason Knight's had some game time, Herron's had some game time. He went with a lot of the inexperienced lads against Luxembourg, and maybe it backfired. We're saying that still didn't quite click tonight in a way where you'd get really excited, I suppose.
No, listen, so, as I said,
I was just going to say, so if you've got Cullen and you've got, you know, Malumbi come off the bench, you've got Knight, you've got Harahan, there's Hendrick who hasn't played really, James McCarthy, I'm not sure where his head's at going forward. Like, have we got kind of a midfield two or three there that you think have really put their hands up with a view to not 2 or 3 years' time, but with a view to even the Portugal game?
I wouldn't, like, I think out of all them that played in tonight's game, maybe Jason Knight was probably the standout one for me. I just think he had that little bit more energy. He looked a little bit more, I don't know, confident on the ball. Conor Horan, not that he had a bad game, but you just expect a little bit more from him at times. The game kind of seems to I don't know, not passing by, but I would like him to kind of, because he's got an unbelievable left foot and he can see it pass. I would just like to see him dictate a little bit more, like demand the ball a little bit more at times. But again, it's difficult. Like, we're playing international football. It's not easy to kind of to get your foot on the ball and start creating things. We don't exactly have a standout player that's going to make things tick from midfield, but we never mentioned Alan Brown there. So he's somebody that I think that he can kind of play in that position where he offers that little bit more of a kind of, I suppose, as a midfield who can support the front men. And I feel like if he played, he could probably, if Troy Parr was coming deep, he's the type of player that, because of the natural position he picks up, he may encourage Troy or somebody else who's coming a bit deep to kind of automatically to get out of there, because he kind of finds himself in them little higher positions. And it's just the way he plays the game. So there's definitely no, I don't think there's anybody that's literally said, listen, this is mine, I'm the main man in midfield, like, this is mine. I still think there's a few positions there where Stephen Kenny will be a little bit unsure. And like I mentioned there, Ogbeni's come on. I know he's not a midfielder, but there's a few, it all depends on, as a midfielder as well, you need movement in front of you. You need people kind of breaking the lines. So if you get your head up, there's somebody running beyond. And that's one thing that we didn't quite have at times until the last maybe 15, 20 minutes. Like, somebody literally running beyond the Hungarian centre-halves and giving them kind of something, giving them a question to kind of answer. Like, it was quite comfortable in front of them. But no, we're all kind of getting too carried away. I don't think any midfielder literally grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. But they all did themselves, proud tonight, and they all put in 100%. And I suppose after the last 10, 11 games we've had, you can't really fault them.
No, it's true. And look, you'd know better than the rest of us. It's not easy in there as a midfielder. It's crowded. You're against very good players. It's hard to get in the ball and keep things ticking over. And, you know, it takes a really good player to get in there and make a real impact. Even the very best teams find it, you know, difficult in the thick of midfield at times.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you don't want to harp on it. You look at England's kind of midfielders, the kind of the luxuries they have in the attacking midfield areas, and you just think, bloody, if we had one or two of them, like, I'm not nothing against any of our boys, but kind of that's the international level, like, the kind of the next level up, where you just wish we had somebody like that. But these lads are very young. There's nothing saying that some of these lads may improve in time. And as I said, the experience of playing the last 9-10 games hopefully will give them the confidence maybe in the next game, in the qualifiers, where there's crowds back in the ground, that little bit more adrenaline that you feel when it's a kind of a qualifying game with Irish fans there. You do find that little bit extra in yourself.
Well, that is us done for a summer now. Who's going to win the Euros?
It's a good question. Obviously, living over here in England, like, I'm listening to people saying we're gonna win it. And from that point of view, I do think England have a chance, but I don't really want them to win it. I would say Portugal. Obviously, you got your usual suspects, haven't you? You got France, Belgium, Portugal, and Spain. I would probably just Ronaldo effect. I'd probably have a little outside kind of sneaky feeling Portugal might do it.
Okay, interesting. Well, we'll watch it all unfold. Thanks a million, Stephen Elliott. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Stephen Elliott with us there, former Republic of Ireland international, giving us his thoughts on the game. Ireland with a nil-all draw in Budapest this evening. Back in one second.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Now, you're welcome back. Again, if you're just tuning in, it was nil-all in Budapest. Hungary nil, Republic of Ireland nil. We are turning our attention to Scottish football. Obviously, the Euros around the corner, and also Celtic have made an appointment which caught most of us, I think, by surprise. To tell us more, we have Natasha Meikle with us from the A Celtic State of Mind podcast. Natasha, great to have you on.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, not the name Celtic fans were expecting. Mm. We thought Eddie Howe was in, and then Ange Postecoglou has been appointed as Celtic manager. He's currently over in Yokohama, Australian. So that raised an eyebrow from lots of people, I would suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't the name we expected. I think everyone, the Celtic fans, the media, probably the club itself, were pretty sure that Howe was going to get the job. And that was an appointment that was universally backed by the fans. So to go from that option, which we thought was a cert, and to move to a relatively unknown manager from the A-League and J-League was always going to be met with a bit of a difficult response, and it's certainly one that took a lot of people by surprise.
He's 55 years of age. What are you hearing about him?
Do you know what is interesting? I think what we saw initially was a bit of what the Australian journalists are calling Euro snobbery. We don't know about the A-League over here. We don't know about the J-League. And we're quick to write them off as not being of good quality. But what's really interesting is if you listen to the people who do know him, the people who know the A-League, the J-League, Australian football, who know his career, they're all really positive about this appointment. And what they tell us about his football philosophy and his setup is encouraging. And I think it aligns with the way that Celtic fans want to see the club play. You look at how he's set up at Yokohama, they play attacking football. They've got high fullbacks overlapping the wingers. They play the ball out from the back. And he seems to have this sort of philosophy, that typical if you score three, we'll score four sort of mentality. Apparently, they're a little susceptible at the back on the break. But I think that works for Celtic. And I think that's the sort of football that Celtic fans want to see the team play. So while perhaps it's, you know, initial disappointment and losing out on how, I think we're beginning to see that dissipate and give way to cautious optimism in terms of Postecoglou.
Because I saw Gordon Strachan went out to bat for him majorly on TalkSport in the last couple of days. He said, the fact is that Ange is coming in. If you actually look at what he does and the people who've worked with him, you're talking about a top manager here. There's no point asking the pundits. They've never watched him play. They've never seen his training. They've never seen his teams. They've never spoken to his players. Ask the players who've worked with him as a coach and you'll find the truth. And I know a couple of years ago, Brendan Rodgers on a pre-season trip was effusive about him, saying he's outstanding. I've had a couple of chats with him, and to see his team play, he's very similar to myself, and he believes the game should be played in a certain way. That's when Rodgers was Liverpool manager. So you've got a couple of people there in the game saying very nice things about him. I guess it might beg the question, without indulging in some more Euro snobbery, why haven't we seen him at a bigger European club before?
It's a very good question. And if he is as good as people like Brendan Rodgers, even Pep Guardiola speak about him or have spoken about him in the past, if he is that good, then why hasn't he made it into European football? I think if you listen to the journalists over there, what they say is that he's been on the brink of this, that he's been on the brink of an appointment in Europe for some time, and that he just has needed the break, and that the Australian market and the Japanese market in terms of the managers there is a relatively untapped resource from European perspective. So it just needs some innovative thinking, a bit of, you know, outside of the box to make this approach. And Celtic are going to be the team to do that. It's either going to go one of two ways. You know, we're going to get the plaudits for looking slightly differently, for trying something a little different and it working greatly. Or we're going to see there's a reason that he's not made it to Europe before. Of course, I certainly hope it is the former.
Any sense of what type of personality he is, Natasha?
Well, the one thing that Celtic fans are adamant that he shouldn't be is a yes man. And from watching some of his interviews and listening to him speak to the media, I think it is fair to say that that is not his type of character. He seems to be very typically Australian, which I quite like. And I think that'll go down well in Scotland. And I think the fans will like to see his approach to the Scottish media, because I don't think he takes any nonsense. I think he's quite tough. I think he's quite competitive. And I think that's the sort of person we need. We just look at the job he's got on his hands. Someone coming in who knows that they were not first choice. Celtic's statement about Eddie Howe made it very clear that Eddie Howe was the first choice. Anyone coming in now knows that they're second choice. And that's very difficult, you know, from a personal perspective, because every result, every criticism levied at you is that you are not Eddie Howe. So it's going to take a strong character to step into that and achieve under that. But I think Postecoglou is that sort of character, which is good, because that's what we need.
Yeah. So to international football now, have a bit of sympathy for us. The highlight of our footballing summer was a friendly we've just played in Budapest, which finished nil all. That was kind of as good as it got in many ways. Next Monday. Wow, next Monday. So 6 days' time.
Yeah.
Scotland are underway against the Czech Republic. Hampden Park, 2 o'clock. I mean, that'll be pretty awesome. Are fans in Hampden Park for this?
Yes, some. There's limited crowd, but there'll be some there.
Okay, excellent. It's been a long time. 1998 feels like a long time ago, so it's good, I'm sure, for you guys to be back. If you had to kind of give a broad summation of how this has happened, I mean, I'm sure Stevie Clark gets a lot of credit, and it does seem like a very nice generation of players have come through. What's happened over the last couple of years here?
You know, know what I think you've touched on there about the new generation? What's exciting about this Scotland squad is that there's an overriding feeling that this has been a new start. What we're seeing is these new players coming through and the dawn of something good in Scottish football. And that's what started to be established over the last couple of years, which has sort of reached its peak now. And now we're looking at this sort of new look Scottish team with glimmers of future stars and players like Turnbull and Gilmore and Patterson. And the difference now compared to previous years is we've got a team littered with players that are used to winning in Scotland for the big clubs, and combining that with players who are playing in the top six in England at a really competitive level. So the standard of Scotland's player has increased. I think we've seen the old guard sort of slowly be phased out over the last few years, giving way to these younger future stars that I've mentioned. And I think from a Scottish perspective, that's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure. So look, I mean, there's a lot of names here that are really obviously very familiar to us when we're watching the Premier League week in, week out. Tierney is there. So Stevie Clark's kind of five at the back territory. Tierney, one of the centre-halves, with Robertson as left wing-back. I think McTominay's had a brilliant season in a quiet way. Like, he's got better again. There's such parallels with him and Darren Fletcher. I know it's easy because he's blonde and he's Scottish and he's midfielder, but I think he's really grown into himself. McGinn, obviously, an excellent player. So who are the names maybe that might surprise us if we're not watching the Scottish Premier League all that often?
Do you know, I am quite excited to see David Turnbull get some time. He didn't play a lot at the start of the season for Celtic, but he played, you know, sort of from December onwards and still managed to get Celtic's player of the season despite only having had half a season. I don't think he'll start regularly, but I think when we do get to see him, we are going to get to see glimpses of a really good talent there who's going to have a brilliant career for Celtic and for Scotland.
And what about Steve Clarke then? What's he done, in your opinion, to get things moving in the right direction?
I think it's the mentality around the Scottish team. I think in the past we have been so guilty of being negative about our team, of so guilty of it being so close but yet so far. And I think what Steve Clarke has introduced is a real sense of optimism. You know, there's a real sense of optimism around the squad at the moment and what they can actually achieve at the Euros. Of course, it's coupled with an inevitable sense of realism.
Yeah.
But the aim for the Scottish team was to get invited to the party. Now that we're there, I hope we can enjoy it. And I think that what Steve Clarke has done is introduced this fresh mentality that we can go out and not only enjoy it, but actually achieve something and get some good results in this group.
So Czech Republic, Hampden Park, and then 4 days later, I think this will be on a Friday, so this will just get a huge audience. Friday evening, England, Wembley Stadium, 8 o'clock, and then 4 days after that, Croatia back at Hampden Park, 8 o'clock. I mean, it ain't easy. So what, when you say there's realism in Scotland, is it genuine realism, or are people now starting to talk themselves into, well, we got to get off to a winning start, maybe we'll beat one of England, Croatia, draw with the others, we could go all the way here? How realistic is the realism?
Of course, the maths has all been done, the various permutations of how the group could end up has been done, and we're doing everything we can to see how Scotland can qualify out of it.
We did the same thing at Euro 2012, and it's a terrible idea to do that.
It's the hope that kills you, it is. But you know what, I think we do have to remember this, an incredible achievement to have got here, to get these games, to get to a major tournament, and for the whole country to enjoy them. But in saying that, you know, let's look at it. I think if we are to get anything from this group, the first game is probably going to be a must win for that to happen. But in saying that, out of the group, the Czech Republic is probably a good place to start. You know, they've underperformed in recent times, and Scotland are coming off the back of, you know, a couple of pretty good results. And then, of course, following that, we come up against England. And you talk to any Scottish fan right now and they fancy their chances against England. We would love that. And you know what else? England don't have the best start. They start against Croatia. So there's no guarantee of 3 points there. That's no gimme. So let's take the perspective that Scotland win our first game, England drop points. The psychological advantage of going in ahead of them to that game against them could be key. And Scotland do well when we're considered underdogs. In recent times, we've held our own against England. So I don't see why we can't go and get a result in that game. And then that sets us up in an excellent position for the final game of the group.
Yeah. Who's the goal scorer, Natasha? Who's going to get goals for Scotland here? Or is that a dilemma?
You know, the thing I'm worried about is the lack of cutting edge up front. I think we'll be solid at the back. You've identified, you know, some real good players that we've got at the back. But up front, I do think we lack a cutting edge, and we saw it against Luxembourg. You know, I really was hoping to see a bit more from them in that game, especially when they went down to 10 men and we just didn't have that cutting edge. I think probably Shea Adams is a great addition. I think him perhaps combined with Dykes up front could be where the goals come from. But I think if you're looking at the Scotland squad, you're saying it's solid at the back, lack of cutting edge up front. And I think on that basis, our games are probably going to be quite nervy, tight affairs, probably not many goals in it. But we will see. I'd be happy with a goal from anywhere on the pitch at this rate.
Yeah. And Che Adams, so he's English born. When did he come on board?
Just for this campaign. Yeah. So he is very newly Scottish, but we welcome him with open arms. And if he scores goals at the Euros, then he'll certainly be even more welcomed.
Yeah. So he's 24 years of age. So was he part of the qualification campaign?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
And yeah, joined up for that. And get good. He offered something that we don't have up front. So, you know, in the first sort of few games, in terms of qualifying, we've been, in terms of striking options, you know, you're looking at players like McBurney, who's obviously missed out through injury. Lee Griffiths played a role at some point, but we've never really had that quality up front and that's something that the Scotland team have been missing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, in recent times, Dykes has declared for Scotland, so he's been a great addition. Shea Adams looks to be that, you know, that bit of quality in terms of attack. So I think we are addressing it with non-Scottish born players. But I think together they could combine really well.
Okay, very good. Natasha Meikle, thanks so much, Natasha. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cheers. That's Natasha Meikle there from a Celtic State of Mind podcast. Again, if you're just tuning in Budapest, finished Hungary 0, Republic of Ireland 0. There was booing of the taking of the knee pre-game. Stephen Kenny was asked about that this evening on RTE.
I think it was the right decision. You know, I was approached about whether we wanted to take the knee, and I insisted that I approached Barry Gleeson and said, you know, it's something that we want to do. We want to take the knee, and I think it's an important message. I think it's a very, very important message. The fact that it was booed is incomprehensible, really. And it must be damaging for Hungary, you know, with the Euros in Hungary. You know, it's disappointing. And you know, it doesn't reflect well on Hungary, really, on Hungarian support. You know, it doesn't reflect well. And I think wanted to do it. It's important. It's important stance. And I commend them for taking that stance.
There we are. That was Stephen Kenny's take on the situation. I'm sure you'll agree, not the last we're going to hear about this over the next couple of weeks. This is the Football Show and Off the Ball with Paddy Power. Save Our Game, donating 10k to Irish football for every goal England score at the Euros. For information on responsible gambling, visit gamblingcare.ie.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Fake crowd noise. The Emirates never sounded so good. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.